ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम्स 10th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 1 श्लोक वर्स नंबर 42। इट्स रिटन ऑन द बोर्ड। यतो यतो धावति दैव चोदितम् यतो यतो धावति दैव चोदितम् मनोविकारात्मकम् आप पञ्चसु मनोविकारात्मकम् आप पञ्चसु गुणेषु माया रचितेषु देहे असौ गुणेषु माया रचितेषु देहे असौ प्रपद्यमानः सहते न जायते प्रपद्यमानः सहते न जायते वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। यतः यतः फ्रॉम वन प्लेस टू अनादर और फ्रॉम वन पोजिशन टू अनादर धावति स्पेक्युलेट्स दैव चोदितम इम्पेल्ड बाय एक्सीडेंट और डेलिब्रेशन मनः द माइंड विकारात्मकम चेंजिंग फ्रॉम वन टाइप ऑफ थिंकिंग फीलिंग एंड विलिंग टू अनादर आप At the end, he obtains a mentality. Panchasu, at the time of death, when the material body turns totally into matter. Guneshu, the mind, not being liberated, becomes attached to the material qualities. माया रचितेषु वेर द मटेरियल एनर्जी क्रिएट्स अ सिमिलर बॉडी देही द स्पिरिट सोल हु एक्सेप्ट्स सच अ बॉडी असौ ही प्रपद्यमानः बीइंग सरेंडर्ड टू सच अ कंडीशन सह विथ Tena, a similar body, Jayate, takes birth. Translation. At the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. Changes of body are due to the flickering of the mind, for otherwise the soul could remain in its original spiritual body. Purport. It's a little long purport. One can very easily understand that the mind is constantly flickering, changing in the quality of its thinking, feeling and willing. This is explained by Arjun in Bhagavad Gita 6.34. Chanchalam hi manaha krishna pramathi balavad dhridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sadushkaram. The mind is chanchal, flickering, and it changes very strongly. Therefore, Arjun admitted that controlling the mind is not at all possible. This would be as difficult as controlling the wind. For example, if one were in a boat moving according to the wind on a river or the sea, and the wind were uncontrollable, the tilting boat would be very much disturbed and extremely difficult to control. It might even capsize. Therefore, in the Bhav Samudra, the ocean of mental speculation and transmigration to different types of bodies, one must first control the mind. By regulative practice, one can control the mind, and this is the purpose of the yoga system, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. But there is a chance of failure with the yoga system, especially in this age of Kali, because the yoga system uses artificial means. If the mind is engaged in bhakti yoga, however, by the grace of Krishna, one can very easily control it. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, Harir Naam, Harir Naam, Harir Naam Eva Kevalam. One should chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, for the holy name of the Lord is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Person. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra constantly, one can fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Savai manaha krishna padara vindayo, and in this way achieve the perfection of yoga. Otherwise, the flickering mind will hover on the platform of mental speculation for sense enjoyment, and one will have to transmigrate from one type of body to another, because the mind is trained only in relation to the material elements, or in other words, to sense gratification, which is false. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimuhudan. Rascals, vimuhudan, being controlled by mental speculation, make huge arrangements by which to enjoy life temporarily, but they must give up the body at the time of death. When everything is taken away by Krishna's external energy, mrityuhu sarva harashchaham, at that time, whatever one has created in this life is lost, and one must automatically accept a new body by the force of material nature. In this life, one may have constructed a very tall skyscraper, but in the next life, because of one's mentality, one may have to accept a body like that of a cat, a dog, a tree, or perhaps a demigod. Thus, the bodies offered by the laws of material nature, karanam guna sangasyo sad asad yoni janmasu, Bhagavad Gita 13.22. The spirit soul takes birth in higher and lower species of life only because of his association with the three qualities of material nature. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya guna vrittistha ado gacchanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Bhagavad Gita 14.18. The last paragraph. In conclusion, the Krishna consciousness movement offers the topmost welfare activity for human society. The saner section of human society must therefore take this movement very seriously for the benefit of all humanity. To save oneself from the repetition of birth and death, one must purify his consciousness. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. One must be freed from all designations. I am American, I am Indian, I am this, I am that. And come to the platform of understanding that Krishna is the original master and we are his eternal servants. When the senses are purified and engaged in Krishna's service, one achieves the highest perfection. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of Bhakti Yoga, Vairagya Vidya, Nij Bhakti Yoga. By following the principles of this movement, one becomes disassociated from material mental concoctions and is established on the original platform of the eternal relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead as servant and master. Thus, this in summary is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So a very warm welcome to all the devotees for today morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. First of all, I would like to pay my humble obeisances to all the devotees of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the senior devotees, especially Sri Spancha Gowda Prabhu, Mahamantra Prabhu, and all the other devotees. It's my first opportunity to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam in this holy land of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So, it's a little different situation which you will experience when you are sitting here. Especially, this is a very auspicious place. Shri Shri Krishna Balram, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaur Nitai, the beloved devotees around the world are present here. And speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very different feeling. It's a different subject matter. I will try my best to speak whatever I have learned from the senior devotees, especially to please His Holiness Bhakti Ashra Vaishnava Swami Maharaj, who instructed me to give this class. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto is the Ashray Tattva, as we all know. It is the Samam Bonam. There are 10 subjects of a Mahapuran, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapuran. So it contains the 10 subjects. The 10th subject, Mukti Ashraya, Ashray Tattva. So it means subordination or taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And here, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are effectively taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So the 10th canto is a very long canto spread over 4 volumes. It has almost 90 chapters. And we are reading the first chapter today, the 42nd verse. Let me give you a brief background of where we are, the GPS, Global Positioning System, so we understand where we are. Of course, it's for me because I am new to this. So the background is that after describing the Chandravansha and the Suryavansha, Shukdev Goswami has elaborately described that in the 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj is little intrigued. He has heard elaborately about the Suryavansha, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, etc. in the 9th canto. Now he wants to hear about Chandravansha. He wants to know about the Moon Dynasty. And therefore he asks this question in the beginning of the 10th canto's first chapter. Please Please do not consider that I am fatigued. Please do not consider that I am tired, I am hungry, or I am thirsty. Your nectarian flow of Srimad Bhagavatam is fully satiating me. So, please go ahead. And Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, seeing the eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj, was inspired to speak about the whole pastime of Lord Krishna. So, Parikshit Maharaj has asked 8 questions in the beginning of this particular chapter, and Shukdev Goswami will try to answer them one after another. One of the questions was that how Krishna appeared and for what purpose he appears. And therefore, taking that as the first cue, Shukdev Goswami picks up that subject matter of the appearance of Lord Krishna. He begins with the dynasty of Shurasena, the king who ruled Mathura. And in his time, the developments happened. There was King Ugrasen, there was Devak, and how Devak had many daughters. One of them was Devaki, and Ugrasen had many sons, and one of them was Kansa. So in effect, they were brothers and sisters. And Vasudev Maharaj, or you cannot call him a Maharaj, Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So Vasudev Ji was a minister in the court of Ugrasen, and therefore, finding him a fit candidate, he thought better that Devaki can marry Vasudev. The marriage was arranged, and right then, when the marriage happened, Kansa wanted to show a gesture of gentleness, and therefore he was driving the chariot of the newly wed couple. He was taking a humble position. As we see in the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna takes a humble position. On more than one occasions actually, Lord Krishna drove the chariot of Arjun. The most prominent was the Mahabharata war, but at other times also he would do that. So here, Kamsa was driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudev. Suddenly there was a Avapu Vani, a Vani which has come from somewhere in the ether, in the sky. It was the demigods who were prompting, Kansa, please don't do this service. Because they were having their own interest, they did not want that Kansa can get some credit, pious credit, by serving Devaki, and thereby Lord Krishna, later on in future, just counting that pious credit, may leave Kamsa, may spare him and may not kill him. They wanted Kansa to die. That was the whole arrangement. They had gone to Brahmaji because of the atrocities of Kansa. So, therefore they made this Akashvani, and then Kansa, who was driving his chariot with his left hand, suddenly now caught the hair of Devaki with his left hand, took out the sword with his right hand, and what was supposed to be a ceremony became a atrocity. Situations can turn at any point of time. Sometimes in our life also, we see that while things are going very smooth, they are going in our direction the way we want, suddenly there is a swing, suddenly there is a turn, and there is a whole, the situation reverses. So here, in this particular scenario, Vasudev Maharaj, who was newlywed, was faced with this dilemma of saving his newlywed wife, because Kansa was having the sword in his hand and he was about to slit the throat of Devaki. Now that is where we are. And in this particular situation, what will one do? So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, one practical benefit that we all can experience and we can preach about it to others is that we learn the art of handling situations. When we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read the Bhagavad Gita, this is one definite take away that we can experience. The art of handling situations. In the material world, there are some people who are called as great people. Great people, Prabhupada says in one of his purport in the 89th chapter of Krishna book, he says, one's greatness has to be estimated by his ability to handle provoking situations. So situation and handling situation is a very important component of one's greatness. If one has to be a great person, or when we call someone as a great person, we have to estimate by his capacity or ability to handle provoking situation, which in this case is a very, very provoking situation. A little bit here and there can mean life and death for either Devaki or equally for Vasudev also. Vasudev. Because the announcement, the Akashvani was that the eighth son of Devaki and Vasudev would cause your death. So while Vasudev Maharaj later on pleads to Kansa to spare Devaki, so while Devaki was directed to, while Kansa was facing the direction of Devaki, he could have very well turned around and said, okay, if not Devaki, then you. Because the son is to be born from the combination of Devaki and Vasudev. So either kill Devaki or either kill Vasudev, the situation is solved. So it is such a precarious situation in which the sword could come on the neck of Vasudev Maharaj also. So what could be the possible outcomes in this particular situation? Just speculating. What could be the possible outcomes for a common man if he is facing such a situation? We are talking about handling a situation. And what could be the possible outcomes? One possible outcome which an ordinary person would do is run away from the chariot. Just get down, save your life and run away. Correct? Because Devaki has been recently wedded. It's not just more than few hours that the connection between Devaki and Vasudev has been established by this Vivaha. So Vasudev ji could have very well thought, Baba, let the family matter handle themselves, let these people handle their own family matter. I will save my life and run away from here. As most people would do. Correct or not? Like I generally give this example that if there is a car, and the car is, there is a mob which has burnt this car. It's a very nice car, branded car, expensive one. And a mob has burnt this car, and the mob is having all kind of hockey sticks and baseball bats, and they are trying to break the glass, and they are trying to damage the car. And we, as a passerby, are just going from that road, and we see this incident happening. And suddenly we see that one of the person from the mob brings out a can of kerosene and he starts spilling over the car, and someone brings a fire and naturally they are going to burn the car, ignite it. So what will we do? Most likely we will run away from that place. Otherwise they will put us also in that fire. We might think like that. But if you come to know that car is your car, suddenly you come to know it's your car, then the response may be a little different because of the word your, the four lettered word mine, your. So the response will change. Maybe then we will try calling the police, maybe we will try shouting, gather some crowd, maybe we will try to confront these mob and we will say, hey, don't burn the car. Something we will do, right? So the response will be different. Here Vasudev Maharaj could have left that place, but now as a very, very responsible person, he thought of handling the situation. There are three arguments in Vasudev Maharaj's response to Kansa's lifting the sword. There are three categories of arguments. Let me just summarize. The first category, the first argument that Vasudev is giving is the prestige of Kansa will be brought down if he tries to kill a female who is belonging to his own family lineage as a sister. So he first of all tries to inspire Kansa to give up this thought of killing Devaki on the ground of family relationship. Hey, you are a big king, and if you kill a abla nari, a woman without, you know, she's a feeble woman, so it will be very, it will not be suitable to your prestige. So that is one argument which has been given in one particular verse. The arguments are given from verse number 37 to 44. In these 7-8 verses, we have Vasudev's argument. Let me tell you that this particular episode of Vasudev dealing with Kansa is recommended or is recognized as a very, very valuable discussion in handling situation by many, many great reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam. They consider this as a very, very important discussion, although the discussion is only for 8 or 9 verses. So the first argument is family relation, and that did not inspire concern. So the second argument which Vasudev ji is giving is philosophy. After family, it's philosophy, and we are in the philosophy zone, in that particular bracket, wherein philosophy, Vasudev ji is speaking about philosophy. And the last argument that he would be speaking in the 44th, 45th verse is compassion. As a great person, please be compassionate and leave her. So there are these three categories of arguments: the prestige of Kamsa, the philosophy, and compassion. Right now we are talking about philosophy. In the last 2-3 days, this particular subject has been inaugurated, and here, what is Vasudev ji trying to say to Kamsa? He is saying that, well, you know, the same message of Bhagavad Gita, which Lord Krishna is going to speak, Vasudev's son Vasudev is also going to speak the same message on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But the purpose of these two people are very different. Vasudev is going to speak the message of Bhagavad Gita to stop violence. And Vasudev or Krishna is going to speak the same message of Bhagavad Gita to inspire violence. So therefore, devotees are very, very smart in applying philosophy. Where to apply what? They can apply the same argument to support a cause. They can apply the same argument to de-support the cause, to unsupport it. Devotees are very smart. Krishna Bhajiya say, bada chatur. Devotee is very chatur because they know the philosophy. So Vasudev is speaking the same second chapter philosophy. We are not the body, we are the soul. Anyways, time is going to kill us. We are all going to die. We have to lose our body. Bodies will disintegrate into matter, and we are actually creating our bodies as we are living. This is the point where I am currently. We are gradually every day creating our body. So it's an ongoing process. Vasudev ji is bringing this out to Kamsa that creation of bodies is not something that happens at the time of death. That is the time when the result is handed over. But otherwise, creation of body is something that is happening every moment. Every moment we are creating our body. And some examples have been given in the previous 2-3 verses. Daivi Shakti Mataji had taken the verse in which the example had been given of how one person moves, keeps one foot ahead and gradually leaves the previous foot, and then takes that next foot and leaves the previous foot, and like that in the process he is actually walking and moving ahead. He is moving. So Vasudev ji is giving this one particular example. And another example, he gives the example of how a caterpillar moves from one leaf to another. So it's very gradual. While he is moving, he is gradually leaving the previous leaf and he is catching up with the forward leaf. So that way one is changing bodies. While we are on the example of caterpillar, Lord Krishna has also taken this particular example. Prabhupada quotes it in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, the example of the caterpillar. He says that a caterpillar transforms into a moth, a small insect with wings, in this very life, just by meditating on that form of the moth. Just by thinking about it constantly, he transforms himself into that in this very life. Generally, we have an experience of how people transform after the life, after this particular life. And we have Dr. Ian Stevenson and so many other people who are well researching this topic of reincarnation, life after death, death after life, and so on. But what about transforming in this particular life? Well, Prabhupada gives this example of caterpillar who transforms into a moth. So what is the principle, what is the basis on which this transformation happens, is the subject matter of this verse today. Yato yato dhavati daiva choditam mano, a word to be underlined, vikaratmakam apa panchasu guneshu maya rachiteshu deha yaso prapadya manaha sahatena jayate. I personally felt that the word vikaratmakam is the heart of this particular verse. Vikaratmakam. Vikaratmakam means transformation which happens. Vikar. Everybody understands vikar. So the verse translation says, please listen this carefully. at the time of death, according to the three things, thinking, feeling and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. What's the formula? What's the basis? What's the principle? The principle is the thinking, feeling and willing of the mind. Now we all know that mind is a subtle science. It's a subtle matter, subtle sukshma matter. And in our education system, very advanced education system that we have all over the world, this subtle matter is not still explored, researched or discussed. Of course, there are some streams of science which talk about, which deal with the mind, but still the vastness of this subject as explained in the scriptures is incomparable. So in medical science there is a field called as psychiatrist. Like we have doctors, different doctors. There are doctors which deal with the skin. So if there is a skin pigmentation, hair, some problem, some boils, then they have a very superficial treatment. They deal on the level of the skin. So it's very surface level. Then there are some doctors which deal with the bones, the orthopedics. So if there is a problem in the bone, it has broken, then they will apply something. But even more subtler is the psychiatrist, because he does not deal with the skin or with the bone, but he deals with the mind. He is dealing with the psyche. Now this word psyche has different meanings all across. Some people consider it as mind, some people consider it as soul. So the modern people don't have so much clarity. But we can understand from the scriptures that the word psyche means the mind. And there are three functions. Amazingly, only three functions. What are those three functions? Thinking, feeling and willing. Apart from the mind, there is another subtle matter existing in our body called as the intellect. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto 26th chapter, the characteristics of intelligence are given. Apprehension is one of the characteristics. Apprehension means the capability to understand things, the capability to grasp things. One of that is apprehension. The other one is reasoning. Reasoning means discrimination, what is good, what is not good. Memory and sleep, these are two other features, characteristics of intelligence. So now we have two subtle components in our body, the mind and intellect, and these function without any control, without any of our personal involvement. They are continuously functioning day in and day out, every second, every nanosecond they are moving, coordinating, functioning and bringing us to the fourth stage, the fourth level, which is called as acting. So thinking, feeling, willing, they translate into acting. Acting means action. So the sum total of thinking, feeling, willing makes us act. And what is visible outside is the action. Oh, he yelled at me. Oh, he did not greet me. Oh, he did not do this, that. So this is the action part. But there has already been a chain reaction of processes which has happened much before in the mind and intellect, and the combination of the mind and intellect. So the verse is particularly talking about how one receives, how one creates a next body by the thinking, feeling and willing process. Now, why this is very important is because in today's day and age, our thinking, feeling and willing is misaligned. There's a beautiful conversation of Srila Prabhupada with one scientist, I forgot his name, it's there in the Vedabase, in which this particular subject, actually in the Vedabase, this particular subject has a special series of Prabhupada conversations, purports, all brought out into one. If you search for thinking, feeling and willing, you'll find it on Vanipedia. Yeah. So Prabhupada brings out this point wherein which is great or which is primary in thinking, feeling and willing. I hope the subject is, I'm not making it more technical, but that is how Vasudev ji is speaking. So we generally feel that of these three, thinking, feeling and willing, what do you feel? Which one is the primary? Which one is the root? Thinking or feeling or willing? Sorry, I couldn't hear. Thinking, okay. And how many of you feel it's feeling? Feeling that inspires something to do, action. No? Feeling or willing? Willing? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita, Iccha Dvesha Sammutena Dvanda Mohena Bhara Viling. But actually Prabhupada says it's thinking. Prabhupada says that the process begins with thinking. Prabhupada says very clearly, thinking is primary. Everything begins with thinking. Therefore, thinking is a very, very important subject. It's a small word, think. T-H-I-N-K, five letters. But it is everything for a person. The word think. IBM ThinkPad makes you think. So what is the thinking about? It's a process in which a person starts analyzing, starts dwelling upon certain subject matter. And that is largely influenced by previous experiences. So the mind has this faculty of thinking, feeling and willing. When we talk about the modern world today, we see a very, very misalignment in people's thinking, modern people's thinking. We see that their thinking, actually the modern world, so to say, from what we can perceive, is not so much focused on thinking. They think less, but they feel more, and they give more weightage to feelings, you know. In Hindi we say, kya, achha nahi laga mujhe, I did not like it, aisa bola, people are so worried about feeling. Feeling holds the magnitude for them. But actually, scripturally, what should be gaining the weightage is thinking process. And the feelings and the willings subordinate and cooperate with our thinking, then the solution or the outcome can be very favorable. So, if you scan the newspapers, if you scan the TV channels today, we are on the verge of a very great pandemic altogether, and then another one coming up soon. Probably a world war or something situation. What is it depending on the thinking of the leader of that particular country, who feels that war is the solution, there is no other solution except war. So it is largely infested by thinking. Why does Lord Krishna want the Pandavas to fight against the Kauravas and win the battle and be placed as the inheritors of the throne and rule Kurukshetra and Hastinapur and thereby rule the whole Bharatvarsha? Why does he want that? Because of their thinking, which is aligned with the scriptures. Otherwise, if the person's thinking, if the king's thinking is not aligned with the scriptures, then the whole kingdom can go astray into one different direction, as was the case when in the fourth canto King Vena was ruling the kingdom. His father Maharaj Anga was a very pious king, but you can say a little incapable of controlling his son. Vena was a very powerful king, and his thinking was sense gratification, as Prabhupada has brought it out in the purport very, very graphically at many places. I am American, I am Indian, I am this, I am that, different designations, mental speculation, Prabhupada's favorite words. So while Vena thought that sense gratification is the principle by which we will rule, so it is said that in King Vena's rule, the Bhagavatam says that the number of thieves, the number of rogues declined. They did not increase because a bigger thief was sitting on the throne. So all the other small time thieves, they had to run away because somebody even more superior to them, a bigger thief, was ruling. So it was very atrocious. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives us the solution. Just rather than highlighting the problem, Srila Prabhupada says that the Krishna consciousness movement, the ISKCON society, was created with the purpose of saving oneself from the repetition of birth and death and to purify one's consciousness. So what are we doing when we are in the association of devotees? We are gradually trying to influence or transform our thinking, feeling and willing, which are the functions of the mind. Basically, it's a mind program. We are trying to turn the face of our mind from sense gratification to service. One devotee I was speaking to yesterday, he told me a very, very beautiful statement. He said, We are talking about devotee care. These days we have a module, we have a course, devotee care. Probably many of you might have attended that course, devotee care course, DCC, they say. Very nice course. I had the fortune of undergoing that course last year. So in the DCC course, devotee care course, so this devotee was commenting that the best devotee care is giving service to devotees. Service takes care of devotees. Automatically the devotees are taken care of if they have service. And if they don't have service, that is the time when they are out of care. Sometimes, however, we feel that, oh, I have service, but I need devotee care separately. But actually, getting service is devotee care. Because when we have a service, when we have a project, when we have something to accomplish, then we have to think about it. We have to feel, we have to be sensitive to what people feel and how we have to go about. And then we have to also, we naturally will, we have some desires to accomplish. So, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we try to transform the thinking, feeling and willing. Okay, this is one thing that we are trying to do. What are the other people of different paths, what are they trying to do? Some people are interested in zeroing the thinking, zeroing the feeling and zeroing the willing. Sab kuch zero hai. Everything becomes a zero, null and void. Therefore, they don't want to think anything. They don't want to feel anything. So therefore, they ignite fire in summer season around their bodies. They sit in that circle of fire so that they can transcend the feelings of heat and cold. Therefore, they stand in cold water during the winter season in Himalaya somewhere. And they don't want any desires, they don't want to will for anything, because they know if I start willing, if I start desiring, then I'm creating a new body. So this particular path of speech or this particular part of philosophy which Vasudeva Maharaj is giving is basically Sankhya Yoga. Analyzing the mind, analyzing the functions of the mind, trying to convince based on thinking, feeling, willing, this is basically Sankhya Yoga. Wherein one is very, very calculative, analytical. Oh, no, not this, not this, naiti, naiti, no, this will have this reaction, that will have that reaction. So one becomes absolutely checkmate. What do I think? What do I feel? What do I will? Nothing. So becomes zero. So while that is one path, it's not practical because we cannot stop the mind from moving. We cannot stop the mind from functioning. Therefore, Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu tells us the beautiful and the simple way out by transforming our thinking, feeling and willing to that which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. So here Vasudev Ji Maharaj is trying to inspire Kansa. He will speak one more verse on the similar lines and then gradually he will move to the third subject or the third argument for rescuing Devaki. In summary, today I just spoke about the background of this particular 10th canto, how we have come up to this particular series of verses, and the scene, the position in which Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, and Vasudev started speaking different arguments. One of the argument was his own prestige, the other was philosophy. We are speaking about philosophy in which Vasudev is speaking about the functioning of mind, and inevitably, Kansa, you are creating your next body. If you are thinking you don't want to die, well, you have to die and you have to take a new birth, because it's very natural. With every moment you are creating your new body. So that is the point where he is trying to influence Kansa. And then finally he'll speak about compassion. As a king, you must be compassionate on your subjects also. While she's your sister, she's also a subject of your kingdom. So you must be compassionate. And then, when he will see that this doesn't work, Kamsa is not moved at all, sorry, then he will speak another line of argument, he will come to a compromise. So in effective, I personally feel that one of the most important takeaway from this particular verse is that, of course everything, but one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to handle provoking situations. In fact, the most highly paid CEOs of any company are also spending 24 hours. They also have just that much time, and a common ordinary worker also has that much time. But it is the situation handling which they are constantly doing. And the more higher a person grows, the more great he becomes in the social ladder, the more magnitude of his responsibility increases. A temple devotee, a simple devotee, has responsibility of his own mind and senses, that's all. But as the temple president, as the GBC, one becomes responsible for the mind, senses, services, engagements of all other devotees who are under the shelter. So it's even a higher challenge. And this is what Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us. So thank you. With these words I would like to end here. I'm very sorry if I have been I have caused any mistakes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any comments? Comments, please. Yeah, you can speak loud. He wants to know why Kamsa has taken the sword in his hand to kill his sister. He could have killed Vasudeva also. Well, that was his instinct, as I understand. He immediately thought, because of the announcement, oh, it's the eighth womb of Devaki. The announcement might have inspired him to first. And Devaki was more accessible, probably. Well, it could have been either Devaki or Vasudeva, whatever. But the point was that how he responded and how Vasudeva responded. That is what we are basically. There could be many details in any situation. Like why you asked this question, you could have asked another question. But it is ordained by the Lord. So that way you can understand. It's ordained by the Lord. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Hare Krishna.